loud and clear.
Blog Talk All right. Radio.
Mardi Gras, put your hands together.
Once again, you are now in tune to Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show. I am Executive Director and host, Brother James Brown Jr., and we do come to you live from Detroit, Michigan, each and every Thursday and Saturday night from 8 to 9 p.m. Well, I'm going to ask all listeners, those of you that tuned in faithfully, you already know what I'm going to ask you to do. And for the first-time listeners, I always ask my listeners, please get your Bibles and your pens and paper ready so that you can follow along with the man of God as he gets ready to deliver God's word on tonight. Again, our guest for tonight is none other than Deacon Marvin Cox, and he's going to share with us another inspirational, anointed poem that the Lord has anointed and blessed him to be a great writer of inspirational poems. So he's going to share another one with us on tonight. And then he's going to deliver God's word again on tonight. So we pray that you have your Bibles and pens and paper ready so that you can see for yourself what thus said the Lord to his people on tonight. So we always open up with prayer. So I'm asking all listeners, please go into prayer with me at this time. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, our Creator, it's in the name of Jesus is that we come once again to give you praise, to give you glory and honor because of who you are. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this another day that you have made. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you're not like man. You cannot lie. You cannot change. You cannot fail. We thank you that you are an awesome God in all your ways. You are still watching over your word to perform it in the lives of your people on today. So we just bless you on today in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, right now we come asking that you forgive us of all of our sins and transgressions. I begin with myself and I include my entire family. Then my guest on tonight, Deacon Marvin Cox, and his entire family, and every faithful doer of your word. Heavenly Father, all over the land that are being faithful doers and committed doers of your word without hidden motives or agendas. Forgive us, Heavenly Father, because we all fall short of your glory, and your word tells us that we all sin and we fall short of your glory. So that's why we have to come to you constantly asking for your forgiveness of our sins and our transgressions so that our living for you will not be in vain, so that we can continue to walk in and live in and fulfill our God purposes in the earth for your glory. So we ask again that you forgive us. Once again, in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father, we come now lifting up all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land, and we lift up all those, especially, Heavenly Father, that are dealing with mental issues and mental sickness on tonight. We know that you are everywhere at the same time. You know where they are, and you know exactly how to reach them. So we pray, Lord, that you would send a word their way, send a vessel their way that can direct them in getting the right help they need, that would in turn lead them to you. Heavenly Father, they will be saved if they're not already saved in Jesus' name. And not only them, but all those that are sick and afflicted in their minds, spirits, and bodies all over the land. Touch, heal, and deliver, Heavenly Father, as only you can, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we come in a special way lifting up the Simpson family on tonight for the beautiful homegoing service that was on today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the life of our dear departed sister Gloria Ann Wilson Simpson. She was blessed. You blessed her, Heavenly Father, to live to see in 2015 when she celebrated in grand fashion her 50th anniversary at the Detroit Medical Center Hopper Hospital, formerly Hutzel Hospital. She retired after 50 years in the medical field as a registered nurse. And so you would call her home, and she had a beautiful homegoing service on today. So we ask that you would continue to bless her family, her mother, Ms. Lizzie Wilson. We just buried her husband, which was Gloria's father, almost a year ago, but now you have called her daughter home. So we pray, Lord, that you would lift up that family, Primus, PJ, Sean, Winky, and then little Kevin, and that entire family, that you, Heavenly Father, would show yourself strong in their lives and let them know that you are their mother. You can be their mother for them. You will be everything that they need. Not only that family, Heavenly Father, but all those that are dealing with the loss of loved ones all over the land. Comfort and strengthen, Heavenly Father, as only you can. Heavenly Father, let them feel your presence. Let them feel your loving care. And let them know that you're with them, because you promised that you would never leave us nor forsake us. And you promised that we can cast all of our cares upon you, because you care for us. And we just thank you, Heavenly Father, for you being our comforter and our strength in a time of need. So we pray, Lord, that you will continue to have your way in the life of everyone that's tuned in over this worldwide network on tonight. And we pray especially for those, Heavenly Father, that may be listening, that do not know your Son, Jesus Christ, who is not saved in his name on tonight. It's our prayer, our hope and desire that something will be said through your word on tonight, through the music, even through this prayer, Heavenly Father, that will prick their hearts, that they will be able to open their own mouth and confess the Lord Jesus Christ, even on tonight, and be saved in his name, that they will come to know and fulfill their God purposes in the earth, is our prayer in Jesus' name. So, Lord God, we pray right now that you will help us to decrease, so that you may increase in us on tonight, that you will be glorified, and the enemy is going to be even more horrified, is our prayer in Jesus' name. And all the people of God said, amen. Well, amen. We do have another spirit of food for thought. Tonight's spirit of food for thought comes to us saying, focus is not a word, it's a mandate. Once again, tonight's spirit of food for thought comes to us saying, focus is not a word, it's a mandate. In other words, we should always, the word of God tells us that we should always watch as well as pray. And so that's another form of being focused. You got to be focused in this life because we're living in the last evil days. And so we got to be watchful. We got to be mindful. We got to be always looking around. And we always got to know that we have the Lord on our side. So we got to be focused at all times. So that is not just a word. It's a mandate from God. So we just thank God for this worldwide ministry. I thank God for every listener that tunes in faithfully, and we ask that you will continue to spread the good news about this worldwide ministry, that others can tune in and be blessed by it as well. So we ask that you will please go to blogtalkradio.com/servants-ambassadors-vessels and click on follow. I welcome all comments and feedback from listeners. You can email me at all lowercase james_brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. Well, I just had a revelation from the Lord just now, and I must obey what the Lord has instructed me to do right at this time. I know we just prayed, but for some reason, I know the Lord has placed it on my heart right now. And for the listeners on tonight, I want you to touch and agree with me with this quick prayer regarding those that are incarcerated. We know that we have those, some that are incarcerated. They are behind prison bars because they did what they did and they got caught. But we have so many caught up in the system now, they are innocent. And it's so hard to prove their innocence. So we need to keep those people that are incarcerated, keep them in our prayers. And even those that are incarcerated, our prayer, our hope and desire is that those that are not saved in Jesus' name, even though they are incarcerated, God can still use them, even behind prison bars, to be a blessing. And so we want to lift them, all those that are incarcerated right now, as we pray for them. And I'm asking you to go and pray with me right now on behalf of those that are incarcerated. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, is in the name of Jesus. We are obeying your word and obeying your will on tonight, because I just felt your spirit let me know that we need to pray for those that are incarcerated. So we ask that you would touch the hearts and minds of those that are incarcerated, even right now behind prison bars, those that are in jails, Heavenly Father, even the youth that are in detention centers. We pray, Lord, that you would send a word their way, that once they hear your word, Heavenly Father, it will prick their hearts to the point that they would yield and they would surrender and open their own mouths and surrender and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into their hearts, and they will be saved in his name, and that they will come to know even their God purpose, even while behind prison bars. And Father, they can be of good service to you. They can draw others to you, and they can be saved as well. So we have this, Father, we ask that you would intercede on behalf of those that are incarcerated falsely, Heavenly Father, because we know that the system is not always right, because we know it's ran by human beings. People make mistakes, and sometimes it's not always by mistake. Sometimes it's on purpose. But we ask that you would intervene on behalf of all those that are incarcerated, that are behind prison bars unjustly. They are there for the wrong reason, and they got caught up in the system, and they are not guilty. They are innocent. So we pray, Lord, that something would be done on their behalf, and that you would send a word that would comfort their hearts, that they will continue to hold on to your unchanging hand, and they would continue to hold on to their faith in you, knowing that with you all things are possible, no matter how it looks, that you're able to make a way of escape for them, that you're able to find the resources that will be able to detect and find that they are innocent, that they can soon be released, and they can be mended back together to their families. They will give you the glory, the honor, and praise, and let the world know that it was you, and they will be back in society, being a blessing and being an asset to society, that you have purposed for them to be from the beginning and from the foundation of the world. So it's our prayer that you will move on their behalf, is our prayer, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have, again, Deacon Marvin Cox. He's coming forth very shortly to share with us another inspirational point, and then he's going to go into God's word. But I have one announcement that I'd like to make before we do our music break. I am so excited, and before I say this, I want to give a great shout-out to my sister in Christ, my big sister in Christ and her husband, my sister in Christ, Prophetess Teresa Phillips Dox, and her husband, Elder QT Dox. It was nobody but God that had moved on her heart to to look at my book, which is titled also the same title, Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God? And the Lord placed it upon her heart. After she read the book, she called me and asked me if I would have my own internet radio show. And it's been almost 5 years now, and I was under their direction, which is Kingdom Builders International and Kingdom Daughters Ministries. So I was up under their direction with my own radio show with the same title for 3 years. So now, since the Lord has opened up this new avenue for me to be on my own and with this same title of the radio show, now coming up the first Saturday in July, which will be July 7th, God be willing, will be my fifth year anniversary as internet radio host. And I thank God for it. I know that it was nobody but God. And so I want to give a great shout out to Prophetess Teresa Phillips Jackson, her husband, Elder QT Jackson, Kingdom Builders Ministry, for opening that door for me. And now that he's opened the door for me, I am now playing it forward and being a blessing to others. I'm not bragging, but since then, the Lord has blessed me to open up doors that others can now have their own souls up under my direction. So I give all glory and honor and praise to God. It was nobody but God who has done this. So I'm asking all listeners, if you will please mark this date down on your calendars right now and start spreading the news. I am so excited for what God is doing through this worldwide ministry. Again, it's not about me. It's about Jesus Christ, and I'm just a willing vessel. I'm an ambassador, a servant of the Most High God, just like you, those that are being faithful doers of God's word. So mark this down on your calendar. Saturday, July 7th, where my special guest will be none other than Dr. Minister. You have a long title, Minister, Doctor, Author, Eddie Connor. He is a cancer, faithful cancer survivor. At the age of, I think he said he was about 13 years old, and his mother is a doctor. She flies from Jamaica back and forth to the United to here in Detroit, where she also a minister in medicine. But she was at the revival when he shared his testimony, and I was there on the organ playing for that service. And the Lord told me to go around to that church, and I didn't know what the Lord was sending me around there for, but it was for this reason, to meet this young man. And as he shared his testimony, he started revealing, and his mother was there on the front seat. She was verifying everything he was saying because she saw it too. She was witnessing everything. He said he had five doctors that was over him, and the cancer was growing so fast as they opened him up. They could see the cancer just growing steadily fast. And so they told his mother that he would not live past the age that he was when they discovered the cancer at stage four. But his mother was a praying mother. Thank God for mothers. And I will give a shout out to mothers before we close out. But she verified his testimony at this revival service. And he has been my guest on my show for my anniversaries every year except for last year. So he has agreed to be my special guest again on the July 7th. It's my 5th year anniversary as an internet radio host. And I am so excited for what God has done in his life. See, God is still working miracles, and he is living proof, just like I am living proof. And many listeners, you're living proof that God is still working miracles. He's still a healer. So this young man, since then, the doctor said that he would not live. They gave up on him. His mother was praying. And since then, I think he's about 35 now. That was around age 13. But look what God has done through him. He has now obtained his PhD. He got his master's degree. Then he turned around and got his PhD. Now he's a doctor, and he is an international motivational speaker. He was a guest on the Steve Harvey Show recently, and he just finished publishing his 8th book. And so the Lord has a strong anointing on this young man's life. So God is using this man as an example that no matter how bad it looks, don't give up on God, because God has the final word, and he is living proof. And I want you all to tune in on Saturday, July 7th, to help me celebrate my 5th year anniversary as internet radio host. Again, Dr. Eddie Connor will be my special guest, and I'm sure he's going to go elaborate on some of what I just shared with you regarding his testimony, powerful, strong testimony of what God can do. So that's what I would like. That's my announcement for tonight. And I'm asking all listeners, if you will please bear this in mind and share the word that others can tune in and be blessed on that evening, Saturday, July 7th at 8 p.m., and hear what God is going to say through Dr. Minister Eddie Connor, my special guest for that evening. Well, right now we're going to go to our music break, and then we got to come back, and we're going to yield the mic to Deacon Marvin Cox. We know that he comes forth as our guest on every second Thursday and every second Saturday, sharing with us inspirational poems. He's such a gifted, anointed man of God. God has given him a gift to write inspirational poems that ministers and blesses the body of Christ. So that's what he's going to do on tonight. He's going to be a blessing to us once again through his inspirational poems. And then following that, he's going to come back, and then he's going to deliver God's word on tonight. So we ask that you would tune in and be blessed by the word on tonight. Once again, I pray that every listener have your Bible, your pen, and your paper ready so that you can follow along with Deacon Marvin Cox, and he get ready to deliver God's word on tonight. Please be blessed by this song.
And I stand before you to let you know that he's the strength of my life, and he is my portion forever. I don't have to worry about anything. I don't have to want for nothing. God is everything that I need. I need somebody in here that believes that God can be everything that you don't have to ask no questions about it. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to worry. You set it out for no reason. But I come to tell you that God is the strength of my life. And my voice is forever. Come on, put your hands together. Come on. This is a little song. We're going to have y'all sing it with us, all right?
Yes, he is my
Tonight, God is the strength of my heart. He is my portion. I thank God for that song. I had to cut it short because I'm about to get tied up in that song. So we got to get the word on tonight. So I just thank God for that song. That song was for somebody on tonight. Someone needed to hear that song. God is the strength of my heart, and he is my portion. And not only for me, but for you too. So right now, we are going to yield this mic over to Deacon Marvin Cox. Once again, listeners, I do pray that you have your Bibles and pens and paper ready to follow along with the man of God as he delivers God's word on tonight. Deacon Marvin Cox, we now yield the mic to you.
Amen. I thank you for once again the opportunity to bring forth God's word to this worldwide platform. And that song that was just played just gave me the verification that I need. Because God is the strength of my life. No matter how much or how well I love my wife, she provides me with a certain amount of strength, but God provides me with all of my strength, and I just thank God for that. Tonight's poem is not a poem. You may say that this poem is glorifying the devil, but it's not. But we can learn from anybody, because people will show you two things, how to be or how not to be. And the name of the poem tonight is Don't Blame It on Me. Satan sat in the back of the church and started crying. He said, I'm tired of these Christian folk who keep lying, doing sinful deeds and then blaming them on me. Testified before the congregation that I'm busy. The only power that I have is the power to suggest, but it's up to them to do the rest. I have to admit that I am full of deceit, but I don't have no arms or legs, no hands or feet. I don't have a gun, and I don't own a knife. I can't make a man cheat on his wife. All I really have is a persuasive voice. But people blame me when they make the wrong choice. Then Satan thought about it, and he started to grin. You see, I prey on the lust of most men, the lust and desires of most men. They say I release certain passions, but I know it's unfair. I just tell them about things that are already there. There's a certain excitement about doing something wrong. I'm just doing my job to help them along. For my encouragement, I always get the blame. But remember, a cheerleader has never won any game. The next thing Satan did, he started to laugh. He said, I'll have plenty of company when it comes to God's wrath. In hell, I will have a lot of company from people who did things and blamed it on me. We will get no sympathy from God, and that is no denying. That's why I was in the back of the church crying. Man still have a chance if he was to repent and turn away from those things that will cause him to burn. I'm a worldwide scapegoat, as you can plainly see. Take responsibility for your own actions and stop blaming things on me. Amen. I'd like to now go into tonight's lesson. Tonight's lesson is a warning, and it's a warning to God's people, because we are constantly wondering why we're not recipients of the blessings which God has intended for us. And I'll be reading to you from just a short scripture, but I have several backup scriptures to bring forth that will confirm what is being said. Now, I'll be reading to you out of the book of King James, 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verse number 33. And I'll give, a few seconds. And I know that a lot of people can immediately go to it, but we got to be mindful of those. As Brother Brown says, get your Bibles so that you can read along with me, so that you'll know that this is not Deacon Cox speaking, but this is the word of God that he's breaking forth and interpreting. Okay, and it reads, that's 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, the 33rd verse. It says, be not deceived. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. And another publication that said, be not misled. Bad company corrupts good character. So whatever publication you have, I know it may read a little bit differently, but the content of it is still the same. And our topic for this evening is, be careful of the company that you keep. And this is a warning that is coming forth, because God does not want us to establish association with those that are going against him. And the reason this is being brought forth, I mean, he wants us to communicate with them, of course, because if we don't tell them about the goodness of God, if we don't live that righteous life in front of them, they will never know. But he don't want us to get caught up into their foolishness, such as when we were, most of us was in kindergarten or we were in our adolescence, there were friends that we had that were doing things that we knew that they should not be doing. And in the process of us being their friend or having established a friendship with them, we began to do those things that our parents had taught us not to do. We began to practice those things, and it put a distance and a void between us and our parents. And God's word is saying that bad company corrupts good manners. So the communication part is good, but the fellowship, I mean, to be a part of what it is that they're doing, we're not supposed to cater, we're not supposed to adopt the ways of the heathen. And in the process of us not adopting the ways of the heathen, we must look to God for our leadership and our guidance. Now, I'm going to go over here to Proverbs, the 14th chapter and the 7th verse, and it's giving us one of the reasons why we have to beware of the company in which we keep. It said, leave the presence of a fool, for there you do not meet words of knowledge. So we know that God's word said that call no man a fool. But see, Solomon here was letting us know that the thoughts of those people over there in Psalm 14 and 1 say the fool, and I'm reading it to you, said as the fool that said in his heart, there's no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is not that doeth good. So sometimes we say to ourselves that people, they have to work through those things that are causing them to be contrary against God. But I'm talking about the individual that says in his heart that there is no God. God's word is backing up Solomon and saying that they are corrupt. They have done abominable works. They have dared God to do something about them. And sometimes when the wrath of God comes down upon individuals, those that are around them becomes, they put themselves in harm's way. So I'm going to start off early tonight by telling each and every last one of you, beware of the company you keep, because each and every last one of us, whether it's a relative or whether it's somebody, a co-worker, or whether it's a so-called friend, we have those people who have put themselves or who have adjusted themselves around our heart, who we feel that we can rehabilitate, and we feel that we can rehabilitate them by going into the halls of degradation and doing the things that they're doing. But the only way that we could have redeeming qualities, that is for us to continue to do what it is that God has told us to do. We know that when it came down to those Hebrew boys, when the decree was went out for when the sound of the sackbut and all of these things were to happen in sequence, that everyone must bow. And when the brothers did not bow, and the king, who loved the brothers, told the brothers, hey, you know, when a king make a decree, if he don't fulfill that decree, it will cost him his life. So he loved these brothers so that he came up with a statement. He said, bow down even if you don't mean it. And it's a lot of people who have over the years say, here, I know you don't drink, but here, take a sip of this liquor. You know, just take a sip, even if you don't mean it. And before you know it, or take a try this right here, or try this opioid, or this would be good for your headache, or that would be good for your pain. Then the next thing you know, we're battling different addictions, or we're battling different habits that are harmful to us. Why? Because we bowed down when we didn't mean it. So we have to allow our good character and our good manners not to be superseded by the whims of those who have come and fallen short of what it is that God will have them to do. Now, one of the most best things in the world for us to do, and that's to be accepted. But one is two words that I don't know how they snuck into the English vocabulary, but I would say over the last 30 to 40 years, and they call this thing peer pressure. Now, up under peer pressure, what we do is that those that hold that position around our heart, those that we want to be accepted by, they do things, and then they call us chickens and turkeys and weak and so forth and on, because they're doing it and getting a certain amount of enjoyment out of it, and they're telling us, come on, do this, come on, do that. Try it, you might like it. But if you don't like it, don't do it. If you know it's going against God, don't do it. Don't do anything that is going against God to be accepted by man. Because that bad company, that corrupt company, wants you to be just as corrupt as it is. It does not care about your good character. But see, good character will promote good conduct. To be in the presence of those that is, you notice when you go from one environment to another environment that has a different class of people, most of the times it's only human nature for us to try to adapt to that new environment that we go to. But God's word said that we're sanctified, so that automatically means that we are set apart. We are different. We are peculiar people who do not cater to the needs or to the wants or to the desires of the world. We cannot allow that bad company to corrupt our good character. We cannot allow ourselves to be deceived. It said, one publication said, don't be deceived. The other one said, don't be misled. And see, the thing about both of those is that it doesn't take a stranger. It doesn't take a loved one. It doesn't take an individual who has a certain amount of influence on you to deceive you. The most deception and some of the worst deception that we ever have is self-deception, because we deceive ourselves into believing that somebody likes us, and we put our money on the line, or we put our feelings on the line, or we put things on the line which only belong to God. We give them God's treasures only because we deceive ourselves. But we should be able to figure out by now who is for us and who is against us. God's word is hitting us hard tonight, because there are so many blessings that God wants to give us that our deceit and the deceit that we allow to exist in our midst is blocking it. Over in Psalms it says, blessed is the man who said, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. So God's word is letting us know that we have to stand upright, because when I cater to the desires of the flesh, I'm blocking people from getting to God. I'm standing in that particular congregation that is in opposition to what it is that God will have me to do. That's not the path for me, you, or anyone to take. Now, don't let that bad company, as I say, it does not matter who it is. If they are against God, then it's bad company. The only way that we can combat that, and that is for us to live right, for us to do the things that God is pleased with. You don't lose your personality when you come into the Lord, but you gain so much more. But to hold on to those things that are of the world. Now, I'm going to move right along and over to Proverbs 13 and 20. And this is also talking about that bad company corrupts good character. It says, whoever walks with the wise become wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm, which is what I was just telling you a few minutes ago, that when you are coming into the avenue or coming into the midst of those people that are wise. And see, wise is not smart. Wise is an individual who knows the difference between right and wrong, because you could be the most intelligent individual in the world and make dumb mistakes. It is wise to, as the virgins, five wise and five foolish found out, it is wise to keep your lamps trimmed. It is wise to conserve as opposed to squander. So that's wise. It's not wise to go out there and take everything that you have, or not make preparations for a better day. So wise is just being intelligent, because the other five virgins, guess what? They were pure, but they were unwise. So Proverbs 13:20 is saying whoever walks with the wise, they become wise. So if you're walking with somebody, that means that you have an association with them. That means that you have a fellowship with them. That means that you have developed a bond between them, that some of their knowledge will rub off on you. Some of their knowledge will be beneficial unto you. But the companion of fools, that bad company, those that is opposed to what is righteous to God, those that say in their heart that there is no God, they will suffer harm. Now, if you notice when an individual is acting foolishly, they are always constantly doing one thing. They're constantly putting themselves in harm's way. They constantly are going against the grain. They're constantly living on the edge. Now, we have a choice tonight, and it does not mean that we have to cut off everybody who we perceive as being bad company. But we have to cut off our fellowship with their foolishness. We can't go along with their foolishness, because Romans 1:32 said that we don't have to find pleasure. We don't have to do those things, because there's a lot of people that would say, well, I don't drink, but I'm around my drinking buddies. Say, I don't smoke, but I'm around my smoking buddies. I'm, you know, getting a good fellowship from them. I don't, you know, commit adultery, but my best friend is an adulterer. Romans said that you don't have to do those things, but if you find pleasure in those people that do those things, if you start laughing at filthy jokes, if you find pleasure in those things that is in direct opposition to God, the word says that you are worthy. Not only do the same, but they are worthy of death. We're putting ourselves in an awkward position when we go along with these things that is contrary. So we have to beware. And this is a strong warning. It's a firm warning, because my sister is not going to stop being my sister. My brother is not going to stop being my brother. But I don't have to cater to him or when he's in the midst of his foolishness. And which brings us to another thing. It says, Solomon says, leave the presence of the fool. And see, sometimes we get it twisted in our mind that if we resist the devil, he will flee from us. But sometimes in God's word, he tells us to leave away from those things. He told certain members to leave your father's house. He told certain groups to leave them alone. And the purpose of leaving is to not allow this thing to overtake you. Because if a brother, in Galatians, say if a brother is overcome in a fault, then we are to restore him gently. And we got to be careful, because there are so many devices out there that could sway our thoughts, that could persuade us that wrong is right and right is wrong, because the world is more wickeder, but it's wiser. It's more sophisticated than it's ever been. You have artificial intelligence out there. We don't know, you know, it's to the point now that it's good to talk to a for real live voice. Because with Siri and Echo and all the rest of them, Alexis and all the rest of them that we talk to almost on a daily basis, we forgot the evaluation of what it's like to really actually talk to a real live sane person. So we have to be extra careful. I mean, I know technology is supposed to be to help man. But is it truly helping us, or is it leading to our detriment? I'll let you figure that out. Now we're going to move over here to All right, I've read to you from the Psalms. Okay, I'll now read to you from, hold on 1 second. Read Proverbs 14:7. I'm sorry, I'm moving right along here. 1 Corinthians 5th chapter 11th verse. Say, but now, this is Brother Paul, I am writing to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of a brother if he is guilty of a sexual immorality or greed or is an idolater, reviler, drunkard, or swindler, not even to eat with such a one. Now, we're talking about lawbreakers here. Now, I've heard many of us say so-and-so just did such and such a thing. Oh, but that's my mellow man right there. The word is saying through Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians the 5th and 11th verse, not to associate with anyone who builds up somebody that is doing wrong. We ought to recognize what wrong is and who wrong is. I would say, now, you know what, that's my brother, but I disapprove of that which you've done. That brother knows better than that. That brother was taught better than that. But the first thing we do, we say, well, they didn't mean no harm. I beg to differ. When we see wrongness, regardless of who it comes from, if it comes from mama, mama, I disapprove, but that wasn't right. And guess what? That's not going to stop mama from being mama. If it's daddy, likewise. If it's sister, likewise. If it's brother, likewise. Regardless of who it might be at that particular time, I know Ecclesiastes says a time and a place to do these things. We don't want to bring public shame on anybody. But if it's a repeat offender and we have told that individual in private that what they're doing is wrong, then we'd be justified in calling them out and saying that that's not so. So Brother Paul is letting each and every last one of us know that not to even eat with such a person, with such a one. So this breaks it down when it says one, this breaks it down to an individual. There are many of us who have been wrong and been around people that were wrong. But we're supposed to stand up and let them know that, hey, I love you, but I hate the deed. And then when we do this, we're standing up for God. But when we go along with it, let's say bad company corrupts good character. And it's easy, whether we know it or not, it's easy to become contaminated with the sin and residue of somebody else. You go to our hospitals or go, it's easy for someone to pass germs, the germs of sin, onto you. Because a lot of times they're invisible. A lot of times we don't know that we have become susceptible to these types of things. So I'm just saying beware. God's word is saying beware of the company that you keep. We cannot. See, sometimes we love somebody so much that we think that we could do God's job. But all we can do is two things. Three options that we have. One of those options is, and the most important option that we have, and that is to pray for them. Number two is, we can tell them, we can pray for them and with them, and then we can tell them of their wrongness, or either option number three, we can go along with what they're doing. Because if we disassociate ourselves with them, we may have been a help to them if we presented to them in the right way. Not in a self-righteous way, but in a godly way. By saying, look, here goes something, you know, that I want you to look at and what you think about this. The way King David's advisor told him, you know, hey, what you think about this? This one man that had everything. And he took away from this one man that didn't have anything. And so they began to talk to him. Then King David began to become irate, and he began to belittle that individual who the priest was talking to him about. He said, who is this? I'm just paraphrasing here. Who is this dirty dog? This dirty dog don't need to live. He said, he's a scoundrel and a rascal. And then it would put to him, it is you. So how many times have we been in that position, whereas we were the culprits, we were the scoundrels, but we have to put it to us, or it had to be put to us, we had to put it to other people in the right way. They would become more receptive to it if we were to explain it to them and then allow it to marinate with them so that they could make preparations to correct it. Because 9 times out of 10, when an individual is wrong, the word says if your brother is wrong, tell him of it. But this might sound kind of crazy, but we have to tell our brother that he's wrong in the right way. We got to move ourselves out of the way. Because the first thing that they do with preachers, and especially family members, will do this. If you tell them, well, you shouldn't be doing that, they go way back to you was 5 years old, and you stole an apple off the teacher's desk. They say, well, how are you going to tell me something? And you stole an apple off the teacher's desk, and now you'd have repented for it and then bought an apple orchard for the teacher and everything, but they're still going to hold that to you. But if you move yourself out the way, then there's no way that they could come back on you for that. So my brothers and my sisters, this is a warning. Or I'll put it this way, I admonish you. Because when warnings come, sometimes we become offended when somebody warns. Because why? Warnings are so bold. When we on the highway and we see a warning sign, if you notice, the warning signs are the ones with the big bold letters, the ones that you can miss. And so when we stand boldly and tell somebody that they're wrong, now that's being a good, now it becomes offensive to them. Now that's being a good steward. That's being a good company when you tell your brother about his wrongness, but not overlooking your wrongness. So when we do these things and when we associate ourselves with people, I'm not saying to cut off everybody. I would never tell you that. But I'm just saying to be careful. Don't allow that bad company to corrupt you. Let God do the rehabilitating. Let God do the fixing. And if you allow that and do what it is that God tells you to do, no more, no less, because we all want to feel that we were instrumental in helping to turn somebody around and helping to solve a problem. But God is the problem solver. So my brothers and my sisters, as I say, be careful of the company that you keep. Be mindful. Go into prayer. Don't let someone else's corruption make you miss out. I was told, and then I'm going to bring this to a close, that if you just got to, go to hell, let it be on your own merits, and don't let it be because you're protecting something that is going against God, or because you have allowed, as the poem stated earlier, or you blaming your wrongdoing or allowing somebody to corrupt your good character with their foolishness. And I'll turn you over into the hands of Brother Brown. Brother Brown, he's been flew by. God.
Amen. Amen. That's how it is when the word of God is going forth with power. And so you have done just that. You have delivered God's word on tonight with power. And I love it when you back it up with the word. So we that's why it's so important that the listeners get your Bibles and pens and paper so you can follow along and you can read it for yourself. So because some of the stuff that the Lord has give to his people, to deliver to his people, sometimes, they're like you said, you have to have holy boldness to be able to say what God says and according to his word so people can receive it and let them know that it's not me. I'm not anybody special because I got some things that the Lord is working on me too. He's not finished with me yet either. So we all have issues. We all have something that the Lord is working on us to complete that we can be more like Jesus Christ. So we thank God for this word on tonight. It was a needed word for somebody on tonight. If it was just one, I know it's more than just one person that needed that word on tonight. So God knows who's going to be listening, and he knows exactly what they need. So somebody really needed that word on tonight. So we thank you, Deacon Marvin Cox, for that awesome poem. I was flabbergasted by that poem. Don't blame it on me. Lord, have mercy. That's good. I like that. Man, I just know what to say about that. That's a good poem. And then you came and you backed up the word, beware of the company you keep. So I thank God for you, and I know the listeners were blessed by it. So before we close out on tonight, you continue to stay strong, and the Lord, Deacon Robert Cox, continue to let the Lord use you because you are being a blessing to more people than you can ever imagine, even through this worldwide ministry and platform. So we thank God for you. You continue to stand on the wall and teach and preach and do what the word of God and be that example, be that light that would draw people to Jesus Christ. So God is pleased with you, and your living is not in vain. I'm going to go back to my spiritual food for thought for tonight. As we were talking, as Deacon Marvin Cox was bringing the word, the Lord placed in my spirit to add on to the spiritual food for thought for tonight. And as I read it earlier, I had read that, and it's true, spiritual food for thought said, focus is not a word, it's a mandate. And while you were bringing the word, this is what the Lord gave me to conclude with the spiritual food for thought. A focus is not only a mandate from God, we need to be more focused on our God purposes. That's what we need to be focused on. We need to be more focused on what God, our God assignment and our God purposes in the earth in these last and evil days. Because people are looking at us, and like you said, Deacon Robert Cox, we need to be the type of individual that have a stand up in holy boldness and declare only what God gives us to say, because he knows who needs to hear a word from us, and he knows exactly what they're going to receive. So we need to be prayed up. So when we hear the word of God, we'll be able to deliver that word with power that God will be glorified. So we thank God for you on tonight. I thank God for you, the listeners, on tonight as once again, continue to share the news about this worldwide ministry so that others can tune in and be blessed by it as well. So we're going to close out in prayer on tonight as we always do. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus, we come again to say thank you for who you are. We thank you for this worldwide ministry, this worldwide platform. We thank you for your man of God, Deacon Marvin Cox, who delivered your word with power on tonight, even through the poem that is going to bless someone. So we thank you, Heavenly Father, for his life. We pray, Lord, that you will continue to bless him, continue that your will be done through him, and that his God purpose will be fulfilled in the earth. For your glory is our prayer. Not only him, but every guest that comes forth, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you for every listener. Continue to bless them. Continue to grant them the desires of their hearts, and continue to bless the works of their hands of every doer, every faithful, committed doer of your word, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, continue to bless them in the works of their hands and their families and the ministries that they are associated with. So we just give your name praise. We give you glory and honor. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your grace and your mercy toward us in spite of ourselves. Continue to have your way in our lives that you be glorified in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we pray now that you will move by your spirit on tomorrow and every door that's going to be open in the name of Jesus Christ on tomorrow, that you will move by your spirit through each vessel that's going to speak your word, that souls will be saved by the compassion of the soul, and the body of Christ will be built up and strengthened and edified on tomorrow, that you will be glorified through it all is our prayer in Jesus' name. And all the people of God said, amen. Well, for mothers, we want to wish every woman of God, every woman that God has blessed to become a mother, we thank God for you, and it's a blessing to be a mother, because everybody cannot be a mother. Even if you have not given birth to a mother, you may be a spiritual mother. You may be a role model mother for someone. So we just want to say, for myself, the executive director and host Brother James Brown Jr. in Blog Talk Radio and Kingdom and this worldwide ministry. Are you a liability or an asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show? Happy Mother's Day to each and every last one of you. Continue to fulfill your God purpose in the earth, that God will be glorified through you as you are being the mothers that God has called for you to be in these last and evil days. That's our program for tonight. Continue to be blessed of the Lord, and continue to stay prayed up, and continue to lift each other up in prayer. Until the next time, know that God loves you. I do too. Until the next time, good night.
You thought I was worth saving.